powerful presence of God that we have in this room this morning. I believe that the best is yet to come. I believe we are far from finished to seeing what God has in store for today. If you believe that, let's just put our hands together. Say, thank you, Jesus. We believe in it. As you make your way back to your seats, let's put our hands together one more time for this amazing worship team. Does such an amazing job, both here in the States, but also in Mexico. As Pastor Bernard mentioned, we have a few of our students who went on the trip. We're going to come up and share some testimonies about what we experienced. But just so everybody knows, just so I can give a little background on everything that's going on, we had 18 people, along with Judah, so 19 total, come to Mexico for 10 days. In those 10 days, we ran 13 church services, and some like other extra events outside and worship sets and stuff like that. And within that time, we witnessed 7 people be baptized in the name of Jesus. We witnessed 8 accounted miracles. And we witnessed 34 people be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues for the very first time. We are blessed just to witness God at work. And I would like to give a couple shout-outs before I bring people up to speak. First of all, such an amazing church to support missions. Our young people raised $2,000 apiece to be able to go. And that's an incredible feat for some of these people. But we also had people within the church who wanted to donate. So we have anonymous donors within this church I want to just say thank you to, who gave hundreds to thousands of dollars to help support this trip. So thank you. I don't know if he's watching, but special shout out to Brother Dross from Mexico City as well, who you know, supported us and allowed us to come and to speak to so many churches within that district and within that nation. So without further ado, before I get too excited up here, I would like to introduce our first speaker. Let's put our hands together for Reverend Anthony Tuppins II.
Buenos dias, First Church. Good morning. I didn't pick up every phrase, but man, thank you so much, Pastor Kinto. Thank you so much, Pastor Bernard, man, for allowing us to go, tithe-paying church members and ministerial staff. We would not be able to go without you. So if you want to, give a round of applause for yourself. Thank you so much. Thank you. I won't be before you long. I got a couple notes. I'm going to go ahead and just let you know, just fill you in on what happened in Mexico. We saw an amazing move of God. We see it every morning. The manifestation of God's presence was here. It's still here right now. And it is an experience, a humbling experience, to know that your obedience in God, he uses it every single time. So let's see. I did my thanks. While we were on this trip, we went to multiple services, right? We had 5 services on Sunday. We had 14 in total, I believe. And it was a lot, okay? I go to church twice on Sunday, once on, you know, Wednesday. And that's kind of what it is. But we got an opportunity to go out and just be led of the Spirit, right? So during that time, if you want to show that first clip for me. So this is a church. We all were spread out and sent out to different churches, and you know, their worship, how they approached the opportunity to praise God was a little bit different, right? We had an opportunity to praise with them, and y'all, we were worshiping and hollering. It seemed like hours. We were dancing and just having such a good time. And, you know, we brought some of that energy back, which is where you saw the spinning and all that and hollering, because that's what they did. We just rejoiced. I didn't pick up everything in the songs, but I remember how joyous they got when they heard Hosanna, victorious. He is risen. It's almost as if they believe that what he did is living inside of them and that they received it. So I want to emulate that. I want to be excited and overjoyed every single time that my God is mentioned. You understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Praise God. So one thing that, you can go to the next slide there. One thing we got an opportunity to do, which was amazing, amongst other things, we got an opportunity to go to an orphanage, right? We went to an orphanage, and it's not something that we can't do here, but we went over there and brought some food. We brought some supplies. We brought these drawing books so that these kids can exercise their creativity, right? That sweet little girl, her mom was, I believe, working there, right? And Pastor Kento and Sister Bianca was praying with her, right? She was broken down in tears, and she felt convicted, right? It was soon after that she actually walked to the church and was baptized that day, right? Because that's what we're here for. That's what we do. That's, you know, we're this. There was one message that specifically impacted me, and I thought going into this, I'm like, oh man, we're gonna see a mighty move of God, and you know, people's lives are gonna be changed, right? But what I didn't realize is how much that would change me and all of us that went, right? Pastor Bernard told all of us at a life group something very important. He said, you know, when you go, don't let this be like a thing where you go and experience it. Oh, that was a good time, you know, and then go back to regular life, right? But rather, let this opportunity change you, right? One thing for me is like, we may have left the missions trip, but we didn't leave the mission. You know what I'm saying? We didn't leave the mission. None of us are, we're in the mission field right now, right? And we just had a wonderful time just offering our obedience, offering our sacrifice unto God. So that service, you're going to probably hear about it a few times. Y'all, the devil tried it, but he lost. Okay? Let me tell you, the lights went out. Okay? The speaker got knocked over. You know, I mean, at a lot of the churches I've been to, they probably would have paused and be like, hold on, guys, we'll resume in a second, right? Fix it up and everything. Guys, this pastor here, he stepped out, just started clapping and continued to worship. And the church followed along because it's the desire, right? It's the desire sometimes over the discipline, because I just need God. I don't really know how to do this, but man, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, you know what I'm saying? So that day also, we had like some evil enchiladas, evil, that we were going into there praying for multiple things, okay? All right. You can go to the next slide. Beautiful service, man. The pastor had such an impact on me, man, because I believe this is like a newer church that they're opening. He led worship. He played the piano. And the way that he sang, man, he gave his all. I don't know if you guys can see it. Do you guys see that guy with the black jacket next to the guy with the tie in the middle? Do you see that? Man, that guy right there, he received the Holy Spirit. There was eight that received the Holy Spirit that night, right? We were there just tarrying, you know? And praise God for the pastors that we have that will stop and listen to the Holy Spirit and let that happen. So he'll always be in my heart. So go ahead and go to the next slide. So the reason I picked this picture is because during this trip, obviously you're with somebody for 10 days, you know, and you're like in the bus with them. The bus has an inch away from all of us. We're just kind of, you know, rocking all the way there. And friendships were made, you know, respect was earned, grace was given, and God was glorified. And what else can I say about that, right? Go ahead to the next slide. So basically, like, this is something you may see all the time, every Sunday. But I took a video of it because it was humbling, because we were able to offer our worship. I mentioned that, you know, you offer a sacrifice unto God and all this, but we are able to offer our gifts, right? And our gift is not so much, oh, I can sing. Yes, that's a gift. That's a gift. But man, it was the fact that, man, we are willing to do whatever it is to allow the word of God to go forth, right? So whatever, hey, do you need help with this? Do you need help with that? Do you need me to preach? Do you need me to sing? Whatever you want to do, we're moving out the way so that God can have his way, right? So it was a humbling experience. And as I close, if you are considering going on a missions trip, can I offer you that invite? This opportunity Pastor Bernard and Pastor Kento had orchestrated is not just an opportunity to experience something new. It's a time that your focus is sharpened on the most important job. And that's something that has changed us, because we will not let go of that focus. Just like Moses held up the bronze staff and they had those fiery serpents. Man, I'm going to keep my eye on my God. So if you want to, I can go ahead and have the next speaker come. Sam, Sister Sam, prophetess.
Good morning, everybody. This is equally as humbling the second time. Thank you to our pastor who does this multiple times per week. I thought of something after first service from something that Pastor Kento mentioned. They had said, like, a couple of you guys, you know, you might get sick, you might go through some things, you might have some dreams. And I was like, oh, not me, you know. And then we got there and a couple people had dreams. And I'm not going to lie, I was like, thank you, Jesus, it wasn't me. And then it was like the third night, and I had probably the most haunting dream I've ever had in my life. And I think I woke up at like 4, and I was like, okay, I'm going to call somebody because, you know, I need somebody to pray with me. And the more, and that's a couple of years ago, that would have really intimidated me and terrified me. And I was like, no, I'm going to pray through this on my own. And I turned on everything I could think of. And I opened my Bible and I turned on some worship music. And I was just sitting up and praying. And thank God my roommate Sabrina did not wake up. And it was probably 5:30 when I went back to sleep. Because it was one of those where you could tell it was so haunting that if you go back to sleep, you're going right back into it. So I just stayed awake and I prayed as long as I could. And I'm just thankful for God's power and protection. And thankful for every single person that was praying for us. The money is important, but the prayers were felt for sure. In one of our first services we had, there was a man who, because they had the doors open, these big doors, and you could just kind of walk in off the sidewalk. And a man wandered in and he just sat down and kind of stared at the floor. And he was a very large man, like probably like 6'7". And you could tell like he wasn't in like his right state of mind. And a couple men went over and prayed for him. And from the outside, you're like, you know, he's still just staring at the floor. And you're like, I'm not sure if he's really receiving anything. And then it went on a little longer and he started to cry a little bit. And then he had asked to be baptized. And when he stood up, this gigantic man who was probably strung out, I think Pastor Kento said he was a drug addict, was just sobbing. He was so excited to get baptized. And it was a very powerful moment watching that. It was truly such a, Mexico was truly such a beautiful place. We got to tour the country in a way that you could go around and kind of see how they did things in their everyday life. And it was probably like 4 to 6 hours. I don't even know that we really paid attention to the time. But a lot of things that we do with factories and with machines, they do by hand there. So it was just very humbling and very kind of grounding experience to see like how easy life can be, really. Towards the end of our trip, we were able to put together some bags, and there were just like some things in there, like markers and notebooks, and then we did like some food and stuff, and we took it to an orphanage that it houses children with various illnesses, and while they receive treatment, they reside there. And when we got there, you could tell the kids were just so excited to even have guests. And we got to spend a lot of time with them. And let me tell you, it did not stop their joy. They had a great time. It was such a blessing to be able to go there and just spend a little bit of time with them. Every Sunday service was not only a message, a worship service and prayer, it was a lot of dancing. But that really spoke to me about how no matter the circumstance, whether or not you have walls, God is so worthy. And I'm so thankful for him. I'm going to have our next speaker come up, the MVP of the missions trip, Brian Breeza.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
I am so blessed to be a member of a church that truly believes in the power of Jesus Christ. On this trip, there was a saying that Pastor Kento continually reminded us during our life group, and that was that God chose each and every individual that came on this trip to go on this trip. And I really believe that God verified that over those 10 days. I mean, every service, not one single altar call fell flat. There wasn't a bunch of drama going on in the background. Nobody really had like anything to really complain about. We really didn't have much trouble. It was really, God was with us the whole time. There was such a spirit of unity between us. It truly reflected, for me, it truly reflected the direction that First Church is headed, and that's a church that is unified. Unified and dwells in the Spirit of Jesus. Last year when we went to Brazil, a whole bunch of us had brought baggage with us, and that was something that we had to face while we were there. And luckily, God knew that, and He placed us with missionaries that created an environment for us to be able to face that and battle those spiritual things. So as much as we were there for the people of Brazil, that trip ministered to all of us. So for those that came back on this trip, I think you know how much better we were prepared for this and how much confidence we were able to bring with us this time. It's amazing to watch how hungry the people of Mexico were and how they chased after the Spirit of God. Nothing really came in between us as we had our services. It was you could almost directly correlate how rough the places that we were to how hungry the people were. The last service in the first picture, this is the last service that we had on the last night, and it was in a part of town where quite literally there was entire city blocks covered in garbage. There was people roaming the streets, strung out on drugs. There was loud party music right outside the door, people clubbing outside and getting wasted. And it didn't matter because we were up in this little upper room just giving it our all. It didn't matter that all that stuff was going on around us. And the power of the prayer and the worship in that place was so strong. I think quite literally we had the entire church running laps around that little upper room. It was crazy. And at one point, in the second picture, we were in, this is that church they were talking about where the speaker fell and that pastor that Tony was talking about. It was their first service in this building, and it was like a warehouse. You know, they just had a couple lights hanging from the ceiling. They barely even had stairs for us to get into the place. It was quite literally a ground zero for this church. And at one point, we worshiped so hard that the speaker fell down, and it tore the electrical socket out of the wall and knocked the power and the lights out. And we were in the dark, just singing and clapping. It, not even for a second, we didn't stop. Nothing was going to get in the way of our worship. And I remember there was a moment where I'm still singing and clapping and dancing, and somehow I picked up that electrical socket and shoved it back in the wall. Luckily, I didn't get electrocuted, and we got back up and kept going. You know, it didn't matter. In this third picture, you see me praying for this young man named Gustavo, and this was a life-changing moment for me. It was like the first time where I really just had like such a strong calling to pray for one person in particular. And I was circling around the back because I had been praying for somebody else, but I was like, I got to go pray for him. And so I walked around the crowd and I got up on the stage and I got down next to him because he was right in the front. And when I laid my hands on him, we started to pray and he began to weep. And I felt a prompt to put my hand over his heart. And as we began to pray and release a shout, you know, we kept praying, and it didn't really feel like it was going anywhere. And then I felt a prompt to put my hand over his head. And immediately when I put my hand over his head, he put his hands over my hands, and he was shaking and crying. And immediately, there was, when I was praying for him, there was such a spirit of hurt and depression that was, it began to swell up. And as I was interceding for this young man, and that all happened, when I put my hands on him, I felt that all leave. And he began to speak in tongues. It was literally all released, all in a moment. Praise God. And I know that was a miracle. I know that that was that young man's miracle, because he actually got my number. And I'm still trying to figure out the rest of his story. But in the fourth picture, you can see that's, he called that his mother in faith. So I believe he's separated from his parents, and he's been going through a lot. So I know that God allowed me to be a conduit of his love in that moment, and to show him that he really cares about him, and that his spirit was released in that moment into that young man's life. Yeah, it was just so powerful. As Sister Giselle comes, I'd like to thank once again Pastor Kento and Sister Bianca for organizing these trips and allowing people like me to have this opportunity, because I couldn't trade it for anything. God bless you, everyone.
Hey, everybody. I am one of the young people who had the privilege of going on the missions trip. But before I start, you got to bear with me. I tend to go on tangents, so I got to read word for word off my phone. So, to start off, this was my first missions trip ever. First time out of the country, and only my second time on a plane. And I didn't cry or anything, didn't throw a tantrum, so I think I was pretty good. The missions trip ended up being more than I could have ever imagined. My missions journey actually started back when we were praying for the people going on the Brazil trip last year at a Monday night prayer. I felt such a burden to go on the next missions trip, wherever it was, didn't matter to me. So when the time came around to go on the trip, I was very excited. The week or two leading up to the trip, I was woken up at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. almost every day with a burden to pray. And that's kind of scary. Like, it's kind of creepy waking up at 3 a.m. and being like, gotta pray, you know? I was expectant of the way God would move and the way God would use everyone in different ways over the course of the trip. The first service we went to was an eye-opener. The passion they had and the energy in the room was beautiful. It was contagious. They jumped, I jumped. They danced, I danced. And when they swung each other in circles, I too was swung. To see people who had so little worship, like they were willing to lose all they have, is something powerful to watch and be a part of. When it came time for me to speak, I was so nervous. I was sharing my full testimony for the first time, and I had been hesitant in the past to share the full thing because it kind of seemed insignificant. But that was a lie from the enemy. God has given us each a testimony for a reason. I was able to pray with and uplift a woman who was dealing with similar struggles, to see her have the revelation that God can free her from the oppression that she was under was something I'll never forget. Another highlight from the trip for me was one of my favorite services we went to. It's the one everybody's been talking about with the painted walls. It was a service in a brand new building. We were running their very first service in that building. The pastor had four sons, three of which were running music, and the pastor and his wife sang. The amount of people in the room was smaller than some of the other churches, but they had the same energy. During the service, the devil thought it'd be pretty clever to knock out a speaker connected to the piano and mics and knock out the power. But we worshiped, and one by one, phone flashlights started turning on all around us. Nothing could stop our worship. So what's keeping us from worshiping? What's keeping us from dancing? What's keeping us from praying for the person that God put on our heart? We have no excuses. Before the trip, Pastor Kento, who will be coming up to speak soon, talked about the small window of opportunity we have. I went with the mindset of not holding back. I wanted to leave with no regrets, and I wanted to pray for everyone that God put on my heart, because I wasn't going there for me, I was going there for the people. The God of those passionate people in Mexico City is the same God who moves in this church. We have similar opportunities here in Sterling Heights and in surrounding cities. We can't let a moment, a person, or a praise pass us by. Thank you.
Amen, amen. I'd like to just tell a short testimony of what we experienced as well, but before that, I want to kind of just talk about the Holy Ghost for a second. You see, before we left on this trip to Mexico, this group of 18 people, we met every single week during our life group semester. So we met for 3 months before we went. So there's a lot of time invested into this trip. It wasn't just like, hey, pay your money, let's jump on a plane. No, we were getting ready. We were preparing for what to expect, and preparing for what not to expect, the things that we can't even expect when we get there. And one of the last things that we talked about before leaving for the trip, we started talking about the Holy Ghost. We said, this is what we're going to be pushing for when we get there. There are people who have never encountered the presence of God, and we're going to see for the very first time people impacted by God. You will see people walk up to these altars who have never heard the gospel message, who have never heard the name of Jesus, and for the very first time they'll be filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And we started talking about these things and what to expect, and the truth of the matter is it kind of gets easy when you go to church for a while to kind of lose the potency of the power of God. But I told the group, I said, listen, what if we get out of our own heads for a second and place ourselves in the shoes of somebody who has never heard about Jesus before? Let's take a second, and I'm asking you to do the same thing right now. Just take a second and imagine what life is like when you've never heard the gospel message. You never heard before that your sins could be forgiven. You never heard about heaven or hell or eternity. But for the very first time, somebody over a microphone just telling you, hey, The gaping hole of purpose in your life can be found in Jesus. That there is a God that came down to earth, robed himself in flesh, died for your sins so that you could spend eternity with him. And the gospel message, the salvation message found in Acts 2:38 starts with repentance. And it's not just saying, God, I'm sorry. It's having a heartbeat that says, I want to turn around. I want to change my life towards God. You see, if I say, hey, church, let's begin to repent right now. Majority of people would just begin to lift their hands and say, sorry, God, for everything that I've done this week. But the truth of the matter is, true repentance shouldn't just be something that you say. The first thing for some people should be going on their phones and deleting the contact, deleting an app, going home and throwing something away. You need to change something. That's what repentance is. It's a heart that says, I'm turning my life around towards Christ. And then imagine for the very first time somebody said, hey, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, not just as a sign of what you believe in, but for the literal remission of your sin, baptized in water in the name of Jesus, the only saving name. And then from there, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, which is when God, the Spirit of God, literally living inside of you, guiding you, giving you strength and power over sin and death. That's what you need in your life. And it's not just a one-time thing, it's a daily thing. Like, what if this is the first time you heard it? You want to know why 34 people received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because they believed it when they heard it. they believed it when they heard it. When I said that, when Brother Dwayne said that, when our students said, hey, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost today, they believed it with every fiber of their being, and they responded in faith. They said, today is the day for me. I'm not waiting another week. Today is the day. To give a short testimony, the last service that we had on Sunday night was in a city called Tepito in Mexico City. It's a little suburb within the metropolitan area. You see, Mexico City has 25 million people that live inside of it. And Tepito is one of the most dangerous areas, not just in Mexico, in the entire Latin America. And so they told us that, hey, like, be careful when you get there. Stay in the group. Go straight to the church and back to the van, and don't hang out. All right. So we go there, and as soon as we cross the city borders, we're met with police vehicles, like literally lined up across the city border. And it was only a 5-minute drive from the border to the church. But within that 5-minute drive, we saw like 15 to 20 cop cars just with lights up, just doing stuff, just finding stuff. Right. And so we get to the church, which is also surrounded by police vehicles, and we get there, and the pastor tells us, hey, like, this is a very dangerous part of town. Like, you need to pray for us. I want you to go back to the States, and I want you to tell them about this city, to tell them that there are people still worshiping in Tepito. And he said that on the first of every single month, and we were there on the 3rd of August, but on the first of every single month, there's an altar right next to the church, an altar of death. He'll put up a picture. And they literally make sacrifices on the first of every single month, which is why there was so many, you know, police presence at that time. And after church, he literally drove us around, and he took us to another altar, like walking distance from the church. It was the altar of Baal right down the street. And he said that this is literally what we cross every single day. Like, this is where we have church every single day. This is just life for us. And like they said, there's trash everywhere, police everywhere. You can see drug addicts everywhere. Like, it was just a crazy, crazy part of town. But this church specifically, and they'll put up a video as well, this is a church that knows how to worship. They exemplify the verse that says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. When you start talking about a light on a hill, this is that light in Tepito. This is that church that says, hey, I don't care how crazy it is in this city, we're gonna be the light of God in this city. We are gonna stand up tall and proud in the name of Jesus. I don't care what people say. I don't care what it feels like. And so I just wanted to kind of explain to you everything that's going on, because it's important for the church here in Sterling Heights to know that there are churches across this world who are worshiping God when everything around them tells them not to. When everything in their surroundings says that you should be worshiping Baal, you should be worshiping death. Like, listen, on the first Sunday we baptized somebody, and the pastor came up to me and said, hey, you know, he just baptized, that was a warlock. Like, he literally goes to the satanic church down the street. You just baptized a warlock. Like, this is the things that are so prevalent in Mexico. So I'm here to let you know, I don't care how dark, I don't care how sinful, I don't care how deep down and nasty your life can be, the power of God is so much greater than the power of sin in your life. Your flesh stands no chance in the light of God. And if you need a miracle in your life, the God of miracles is in this house. If you need a change in your life, the life changer is in this house. I don't care how crazy this last week has been. God can turn some things around if you're willing to give it up to Him. God can change your life today. Listen, we already have people lined up to be baptized, but I want to give us an altar call. In fact, if I could just have everybody stand, if I could have you just come to the front real quick. Just make your way to the front. I'm going to do the same exact thing that we did in Mexico every single service. Every single service, we made an effort for people to receive the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And today, I don't care if you've already had the Holy Ghost, if you already got it. I believe that today, God is going to renew some people. It's been just a little too long since you received the Holy Ghost. It's been a little too long since you had the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I believe that God is going to renew your spirit today. I really believe that. I really believe that. I believe that for some people in this house, you're going to be healed in your body today. For others, your mind is going to be healed today. The depression is going to be gone today. The suicidal thoughts are gone today. The anxiety is gone today. There is healing in this house for you today. So if I could just have every eye closed and every hand lifted, and I just want you to listen to the instruction for a moment. In a moment, we're all going to pray together, but it's important for a couple things to keep in mind, because I'm going to say these words. I'm going to say, by the authority of the word of God and in the power of the name of Jesus, by his stripes, you are healed. And by the authority of the word of God and in the name of Jesus, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it's important for us to understand a couple things. I've never seen someone receive, I've hardly ever seen somebody receive the Holy Ghost for the first time who aren't praying with their lips, who aren't using their mouth as a worship device. But the one time I did see it where somebody wasn't using their lips was because this man had a problem with his vocal cords. He literally could not speak. But he came to the front and he lifted up his hands and he began to open and shut his mouth as if he was speaking. And in that moment, just like that, God healed his vocal cords and then filled him with the Spirit. So unless there's something wrong with your voice box, and unless you're mute, we need every single person in this room to begin to lift up their voice and worship, okay? So on the count of three, after I say those things, we're all going to say hallelujah, which is the highest praise, And then we're going to begin to worship God and just let the worship fill this room as an incense, as a sweet incense unto heaven. Let your prayers and worship change heaven today. And if you need a miracle in your body, when you feel God moving inside of you, you need to begin to move your body, move your legs, your back, your arms, whatever is painful. Begin to worship God as a sign of faith that he's going to renew you right now. All right? Is everybody ready? By the authority of the word of God and in the power of the name of Jesus, you shall be healed. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. 1, 2, 3, hallelujah!